Oleandra. 5 days after detonation. Oleandra climbed the steps one at a time, feet like lead, legs like slag, back bowed as if weighed by bars of steel. Her ashen clothing bore a few new marks from the forges, which threw sparks when she passed. Her job didn't involve working those. She sorted bits of metal from melting down. When she arrived at her small flat, on the 7th floor in a building with no elevator, she could already hear Miss Cousin yelling. Despite her exhaustion, Oleandra picked up her pace. She hurried to the door and threw it open to where her daughter, Ruri, 3 years old and still small for her age, huddled in her blankets, terrified again.
"Why would you think toothpaste was for drawing?" Miss Cousin shouted.
She was a woman with a hierarchy of chins, the last, most swollen one, lording over the others like a terrible regent. She glanced up as Oleandra entered, then held up the toothpaste jar.
"Did you see what she did this time?"
"I'm sorry," Oleandra said, exhausted, but she scooped up Ruri as she came running into her arms to escape. "Thank you for watching her."
Cousin looked her up and down, noting the dirty face, scraggly hair, burned clothing.
"Rent?" she demanded. "It's been 3 days."
"He's never been late with a payment before."
Wayne, the man who'd murdered her father.
"I'm sure he'll show up soon."
"I need to do some renovations," Cousin said. "Maybe when he comes you can..."
"Thank you, Miss Cousin,"
Oleandra said, stepping aside so the woman could leave.
"For watching her. It is an enormous help."
The woman huffed, but squeezed out of the room and went clomping down the steps. Oleandra pulled her daughter close and thought for a moment about her choices, about how the best schooling in the city didn't mean much when you were in debt to the wrong people, about how something you loved so much, like the girl she held to now, could also be a reminder of one of the greatest mistakes you'd ever made. She was exhausted, but she plopped Ruri down, and together the two of them painted with toothpaste on the wall until the girl was laughing again. Until Ruri understood that mistakes could sometimes turn into amazing, wonderful, cherished things, with the right perspective. A knock came at the door. Oleandra froze, then quickly wiped her hands on a rag. She hadn't been expecting anyone. Rusts, she barely knew anyone. All of her university friends had gone on to marriages, office jobs, and nights spent socializing. Her family still lived out in the roughs, and she'd made sure they didn't know what had happened to her, because they had their own problems. She opened the door hesitantly and saw two men in suits outside, one tall, one short. Her stomach immediately dropped. Were these Bleakers new collection men? They usually showed up a week after she received her monthly payment.
"Miss Oleandra," the shorter of the men asked, "I am Mr. Cole, and this is Mr. Daring of Cole and Son and Daughters Accounting and Estate. Might we come in? We have a matter of some importance to discuss with you."
"I don't have the money yet," she said quickly. "I can't pay you until I do. There's nothing in here for you to take."
The two shared a glance, then the shorter man gestured again. She reluctantly let them in.
"If you," she whispered, "hurt my daughter..."
"We are not who you appear to think we are," the taller man said with a cheerful air,
looking at the toothpaste-covered wall, then the ragged furnishings.
"We represent the estate of Master Wayne Terraceborn of 662 Inkling Lane."
"Oh,"
she said, feeling relieved.
"Him. Wait, did he finally get smart and decide to stop insisting that I meet him in person?"
"Indeed he did,"
the taller man said, setting his bowler hat on the counter. She winced, noticing the mushed-up apple Ruri had dropped there. The little girl came and climbed into her arms. Strangers made her nervous.
"Why are you late?" Oleandra asked. "His payments always come on the first of the month."
The taller one coughed.
"You haven't heard? You don't read the broadsheets."
"Do "Do I look like I have time for broadsheets?" she asked. "If you have my payment, that's great. I could use it. But I really need some sleep, so..."
"Miss Oriandra," the shorter man said, "Master Wayne passed last week. It was quite spectacular. He was the one who detonated the bomb. Did you hear about that?"
She'd heard rumblings of it at the forges, not his part in it, but the whole flood and the evacuations and...
"Wait, he's dead?" she asked.
They nodded.
"Rusts."
How did she feel about that? Happy? The man who had killed her father was finally dead? She should be overjoyed, shouldn't she? Instead, she felt confused. A little angry still, yes, that would never leave her. A hint of relief, but mostly sorry. Sorry for how it had all turned out. Sorry that wounds long dulled sent a pang through her now and then. Sorry for mistakes. Mistakes didn't always turn into something better, not by a long mile. But she could understand now how they happened, even the big ones. The taller man set a large folder onto the room's only table.
"Shall we?"
he asked.
"Shall we what?" she replied.
"Miss Oriandra," the shorter man said, "you are the primary beneficiary of Master Wayne's estate."
"What's that amount to?" she asked. "3 balls of gum and an unpaid bar tab?"
"Currently," the tall one said, "it's 20 million boxings liquid, along with majority stake ownerships in several important holdings, equating to at least another 100.
The room fell silent, save for Ruri's sniffling, which the girl solved by wiping her nose on Oriandra's jumpsuit. Oriandra barely noticed.
"Did you say 120 million?
She whispered.
"Give or take, depending on the market," the taller man said. "He invested wisely, in a brilliant way, actually, against most conventional wisdom, using a considerable amount of aluminum as collateral. Turns out electricity, fabrication, and power were the place to be 6 years ago."
The shorter man pulled over a chair for her.
"Please," he said softly, "sit down. We have some things to go over."
120 million?
She repeated, her eyes wide, barely able to think. Her debts from her failed art studio equated to barely 10,000.
"Yes,"
the taller man said, setting out some papers.
"By my estimation, you have become the 4th richest person in the city."
He looked up.
"There are a few holdbacks, mind you, accounts that Master Wayne set aside for other things, but that equates to less than 500,000 in total. Everything else, well, it's yours."
She sank down into the chair. The short man pushed over a note, handwritten, stained with something.
"He wanted you to have this."
It simply said, "Sorry." As if that could explain all of this. Overwhelmed, she took the note, then held it close to her chest. With money, she could bring her family to Ellendale, resolve their problems, build the life for them all that she'd promised when they'd put everything into sending her to the city. Ruri grabbed at the card, getting toothpaste on it.
"What are the holdbacks for?" Oriandra asked. "Not that I'm complaining. I'm merely curious."
The two shared a look.
"Various things," the shorter man said. "Each one of an individual nature."